Blog Talk Radio.
Difficulty making decisions. Maybe you feel overwhelmed because you think you have too many choices. Today's guest provides clear evidence that all we ever have is just two choices. This discussion just might change your life. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Me, Touch Me Relationship System, and the upcoming 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Rico Rakowski has led an active life with not one but two careers as a former fighter pilot, now an airline pilot, and as an author, publisher of multiple graphic and original books. Graphic meaning artistic. One day, while addressing a group of high school students, he stumbled upon an idea that led to his first three books on goal setting and positive choice. He wrote on the chalkboard, dreams plus action equal reality. Powerful statement. So many people have dreams and don't act on it, and their reality doesn't match up to their dreams. The premise of his latest colorful and easy-to-read book, I have loved reading it, Just Two Choices, makes life and goal setting and achieving your dreams seem so easy that it's actually laughable how many of us struggle with this. So I'm delighted to welcome this fun and creative person, Rico Rakowski. Welcome.
Well, Dr. Gladstone, or Goodstone, it's an absolute privilege. I mean, I've got me blushing already because especially talking about dreams plus action equals reality formula. If I can just add, you know, I was the guy in high school that the guidance counselor told me not to, you know, not to be a pilot. And before I talk about that, Dr. Gusta, I just want to say I love your phrase in that you talk about and what you do with your works, which is it's about creating and sustaining. You know, that is so, that's exactly what life's about, not only just creating it, but sustaining it. So, you know, so thank you for interjecting that in the beginning, because that's just so much of what this whole discussion is about. And so here I was in high school talking to my guidance counselor, and she said, Mr. Rakowski, and I know her heart was in the right place. She says, you know, I really don't think you should go pursue that dream of being a pilot, and you need to go to a junior college. And I wasn't offended by that. I'm from a small coal mining town back east, and I wasn't offended by the thought. But I remember walking out, and I very respectfully walking out, and because I acknowledged what she had said and was thinking about it. But I remember walking out the door and saying, no, that doesn't sound right. And that was probably one of my first, now that I look back on it, writing about choice, that was one of my first big just two, what I call just two choices moments. And we all have them in our life. I could have believed her, or the other choice was to say, well, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to go ahead and pursue this. And so I just want to share that thought. We all have these just two choices moments in life. And as we get started with the audience here, I'm still exploring just two choices. So, even though I've written a book on it, you know, you teach that which you need to learn most. So I must have had to learn this most. So thank you.
What you just shared, I'd like to add something that I had an
sure.
experience of that early on with my relatives telling me, go back to teaching. I really wanted to be out there doing communications and something different.
Yeah.
But they said teaching is good for a woman at that time, so I went back to teaching.
Yeah.
I hated teaching in elementary school and even in the high school. And then I got into a college.
Yeah.
That was a little bit freer. But anyway, we do make those choices. So tell us more about your background. It's fun to hear what happened along the way that led to your, and then what led to writing this particular book.
Well, thank you. If I really want to go back to the very beginning of it, I have to kind of laugh about it, Dr. Goodstone, because it's to me, I find it funny because here I was in high school, and I remember I was the guy overall. I'd be in the bleachers, back in the bleachers, when they gave the awards for academics and stuff like that every couple of semesters. I worked really hard for my grades, and I remember. And please, I want everybody to hear this. There is no jealousy whatsoever. This is all curiosity. And this is how this all got started. This just two choices, idea and dreams plus action equals reality got started. It got started by curiosity, not out of jealousy, just strictly observing life and going, huh, what's different between those same kids who keep getting up on stage and getting, academic awards and stuff every semester and me? I'm working my tail off. My grades quite aren't there yet. What is that? What's the difference? And so I was always curious about that. So I think that's what put this whole thing in motion. Fast forward then, the guidance counselor telling me what she told me. And again, I believe her intentions were the best for me. I think she probably didn't want me to be disappointed, that if I didnn't work out, then I would be crushed,
And
I say,
not only crushed,
I'll sort that out.
You wouldn't have a career or money. She was caring about your future.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for adding that. You're absolutely right. And I stepped into it. My philosophy of life now that I look back on is more, the only thing that's guaranteed is guaranteed that I won't achieve it is if I don't try, if I don't go for it. So it's guaranteed I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't care what the small percentage is. And so going through the high school counselor, and here I was, finally I made it, made it through went to a four-year school. It took me an extra year, but I got through the four-year school and then went to flight school. And finally, here I was flying in the Air Force for a couple of years. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing something right. Because, from what I've observed, what I've observed about being in the back of the, in the bleachers during these presentations in high school for awards and stuff. And what the guidance counselor said, I'm doing something that's working. What is it for me that's working? And the dreams plus action equals reality situation was just as you described in the introduction. Thank you for sharing that story. Is what happened when I wrote that on the board. I was searching for a way for me to explain to me, not to everybody else, but for me to explain to me what I could do to do exactly what you talked about at the beginning of the show, which was create it and replicate it and sustain it. Obviously, I was doing something unconsciously that was allowing me to create it and sustain it. And what was that? And that formula evolved. And then fast forward, I started sharing that formula with elementary school kids in between flying while I was in the Air Force for a few years and then flying while I was flying for the airlines. I'd work with elementary school kids and I'd teach them that formula. And after probably 15 years of saying every choice of action you take can take either closer to what you want or further away from what you want, there are just two choices, the light popped on. I went, kid, or for an adult book, adults might not resonate with dreams plus action equals reality as a book like the kids do. They love the idea and they get it. But
oh, do they? Huh.
I was blown away when some elementary school teachers first approached me and said, would you come over and talk to our elementary school kids about, and I said, about what? He said, dreams plus action equals reality. I said, man, that's kind of abstract. Man, their eyes got as big as silver dollars. And they went, oh no, they'll understand. And I was blown away that day. And that's why I switched from high school to working with elementary school kids, because they just so get it. And here's the point is that, see, adults use their choices to complicate their choices. And the kids look at just two choices when I show them the visual, which is why there's so much art or so many graphics in the book, is because I had to teach that at elementary school level, as you're familiar with. You can't give them death by PowerPoint. You have to give them a visual, and they got the visual. So that's how the story, that's basically how it evolved, and it kept saying.
It turns out Rico, it turns out that adults really need all those images too. I wanted to share with you that somebody, one of the people I'm interviewing on the radio show, sent me a book that is just all words, you know, a big, thick book, and I just looked at it and almost cringed because it's so hard to read so much. But yours, I opened it up and it was joyful from the beginning, colorful images, easy to read, and you could read it in segments.
Well, it's a funny thing is when I'm flying, now we've gone electronic with all of our charts and maps and stuff, you know, in the airline industry. You know, we just did that probably 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, using iPads for everything because they update a lot faster. We used to carry these almost 40-pound bags of navigation charts and stuff everywhere we went. And I used to have my charts colors. And, you know, the guys I'm flying with and the guys and ladies I'm flying with would give me a little bit of heat saying, you know, just kind of laughing at how my charts were kind of color-coded and stuff. And I would laugh and I'd say, well, I flunked out of art school and I got stuck doing this technical thing like flying an airplane. And but the point is, they're both visual, you see, and that's been the gift. When I was growing up, I loved art and I loved aviation, and now I've gotten to do both. I started off at art school, and the Air Force came back to me and said, and offered me an opportunity to go fly. And so I just didn't even go to art school. It was at the last minute kind of a thing. And I went and got my education and to fly. But I'm able to use both of those. And it's kind of interesting how I noticed over the years, Dr. Goodstone, what happens is, and you might see this too, people will say, oh, that's too many colors, or why are you drawing that out? But yet it is so much of a part of our life. You buy a brand new car. It's got to be intuitive. You turn it on and there's a screen with colors and all kinds of things that tell you everything from, you know, everything that's going on with the car, and the same in the airplanes.
That's
and yet
funny.
We don't realize.
I had the same problem with one of my websites. I had a web designer that I sent him information with all different colors, and he sent it back completely changed because he didn't think that was appropriate for the internet. You know, but that's the way I wanted it. So then, since then, I do more myself. But that color is so important.
And I caught some, and for the audience, this book is a visual book, and it's what I learned from teaching elementary school kids. Only now it's kind of like we're in an era where people want to learn things as quickly as they can. It's just like, why should I read a, I'm making all this up right now, okay? Why should I read a 500-page, wait to read a 500-page book to change my life when I can look at a visual and in an instant see a graphic that explains just two choices in a matter of 3 minutes? I can choose to be happy. I can learn how to choose to have a better relationship. I can choose to have to learn how to make choices that are healthier for me and my body. Why should I wait to read a 500 book when I can do it in 3 minutes? You know, by looking at a visual.
And another piece of that is that when you see the image and it makes so much sense to you, then you're a little more willing to read the explanation, which is not that long, but you can read a little bit afterwards.
Yep. Oh, thank you. That's very well said too. And you're right. That's how I read. You know, I that might have been my challenge in school was, you know, books just were a lot of words. You know, reading chemistry and science were really a challenge for me, physics and stuff like that. And there weren't as much visual, and not knowing that's probably my best, you know, one of my best learning strengths. And so that's why I created it as a visual. And here's the other thing is our language in our the word choice has been in it since about the year roughly 580, 560 AD. It's just that it's a concept. And I take it from being a concept into making it an image. And so when you say the word choice and you see the thing, the graphic, just two choices, you have that image in your head. And what I wanted, the power of doing that was two things. And I'm going back to the elementary school kids. That was the beauty of the dreams plus action equals reality thing. I could talk to any kid after they knew about the phrase dreams plus action equals reality, and I could say, would that choice take you closer to what you want or further away from what you want? And they knew. They didn't have to have a book and say, oh, yeah, page 123 is how I activate this idea into my life. They knew because they carried it around in their head, and that's what I wanted to them to be able to do, with the same with just two choices. I want people to carry it around in their head. Not just have to reference, oh, man, where was that? I earmarked that. No, I don't have my book. I don't have my iPad with me. I don't have my phone with me to access the Kindle version. You don't have to do that. Once you know the phrase and you see the image, bam, every choice you make is a just two choices moment, which they were anyway. because that's what life is. There are just two choices every moment. You can't step into the future, even by 5 seconds, and you can't step into the past, into the past.
But you said something a little earlier, because I at the beginning of the show, I say create and sustain, but you added create and replicate and sustain. And that's pretty powerful, because making the just two choices in one moment is great, but you have to make the correct choice or the best choice in the next moment also.
Yeah, yes.
And
keep
replicating it.
Well, I have a technique that I use every day. I used it today. I mean, I use it every day. In fact, I choose to make a game out of things now. As we all know, as we've worked through our lives, and you certainly have had, as you described earlier in your show, some, you know, lots of challenges to overcome from different directions, family, and perhaps sometimes with all of us within ourselves, you know, to allow ourselves to blossom to be who we want to be. My one phrase that if anybody could say just one phrase for the rest of their life, this is the phrase I would choose to say, and I choose to say is, I choose to tell my new story. You know, one of the things you talked about was the better it gets. And you mentioned earlier, after you were talking about sustaining, about the better it gets. You know, I believe that the better it gets, the better it gets. And so as you step into saying, I choose to tell my new story, and let's just say you accomplish your dream or goal of your new story of how your weight is, you know, you're at your healthy weight that you want to be at, and you're eating the foods that are best for you, or it has to do with solving the problem of finances, you know, or a relationship, and you tell that new story about how your relationships, your finances, whatever that big challenge is in your life is now working for you. Well, now that you've accomplished that, there's always room for a new story. So it goes back to what you said earlier in the show, which is, hey, guess what? The better it gets, the better it gets, because the better it gets is a new story too. And you just build and build and build with your choices, because life is built by choice at the speed of choice. You know, it's built by the power of choice in every moment. And that's what I'm trying to help people to wake up, wake up to and appreciate and understand it. You're never separated from your choices. And once you harness that and you know that, man, just look out, because all it is I choose to tell my new story, my new choices, and build from there consciously.
That's incredible, because so many people keep repeating their old story, or they get a new story that's negative, and then they keep repeating it. I have this disease, and then that's the story.
Yes.
And they don't realize I've been listening to an autoimmune program, and I'm going to be interviewing the person who was running that, Tom O'Brien, and it's just so exciting to realize that there are options even for your health, even for the most devastating health disease that we have. We might be able to completely overcome it, and the choice is to really decide I'm going to go and make the effort to do that.
Right, and some people say, well, Rico, that's kind of Pollyanna, that's kind of BS, that's kind of unrealistic, and I say, well, what's my other choice? To keep telling you that, hey, have I told you lately that my life sucks? Hey, have I told you lately that I'm in this broken relationship and it's not working out? Well, yes, you have. You've been telling me that for the past 6 months. You know, have I told you lately that, you know, that she ran away from me, or that he, you know, he did this or he did that? Well, yeah, you've been saying it for the past 6 months. Why are you surprised that you're still in the same old, that you haven't made a different choice? And you've got to make a new and better choice to be in a better relationship. Oh, well, I don't, you know, well, that sounds kind of Pollyanna. It sounds kind of BS. Okay, then we'll be talking about this 6 months from now again, too. You shouldn't be surprised. So you shouldn't be surprised when your life is going exceptional. You know, you shouldn't be going like, oh, my God, it's finally working. You know, you should be going like, yeah, I'm choosing for it to work, because you're using the word choose. But you also have to own, if your life isn't going well, you got to own at some point, I'm choosing for my life not to go well, obviously enough times that I'm still in that space. So we shouldn't be surprised. I find it kind of humorous, and for myself, too, when I find myself
going. No, it's kind of humorous, but it's also helping me to think, you got that message maybe from relatives when you were younger that would say to you, life is tough as you get older. And then you reach a certain point where you start believing that and keep repeating it. But you said something, and I would like you to explain it. People seem to get stuck, and sometimes for a long period of time in different situations, but you say that they only get stuck once. So what do you mean by that?
Right. Because if someone can say to me that they're stuck, then that means that they know where they are. Right? If someone says to me, I'm stuck in this relationship, I'm stuck with this weight, I'm stuck with, I can't seem to move off, I'm stuck, I can't seem to move out of this financial difficulty I'm in, I can't seem to move out of this health situation I'm in, then if you're staying stuck, that means you're conscious of where you are. So you're only stuck once. You tell me that once. You should only have to say that once in ideal situations, because the next choice the better choice in your next statement would be, you know, I'm stuck and I'm choosing to make a new and better choice starting right here, right now with this choice. So that's what I mean by
wow.
You're only stuck once. But isn't it true? If you're conscious enough to say you're stuck, then you got to know where you are. You can't blame anybody. I mean, you just have to, you're stuck. Okay, well, then why would I want to be telling the same old story? And I say this facetiously and with good humor, and to everybody listening, I say these kind of things to myself, you know, in a sarcastic way sometimes too, and then I make myself laugh like, okay, Rico, you want to keep going down this path? How long are you going to stay in this situation? How long are you going to stay in this being irritated situation? Just two choices. And I choose to say, you know, okay, I've had enough time into this. I choose to step into moving on. I choose to step into letting it go. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, just two choices. Are you going to choose to let that moment pull you into the next thing that happens is, you know, it throws your whole day off? Or are you going to choose to say, you know, I've cut off people in traffic too myself, you know, and I'm just going to move on from there.
I see a problem in that situation that as you're talking, that someone is aware that they're making a bad choice right now. They're in this relationship and they don't know how they're going to get out of it. And just saying, I'm going to make a better choice right now. The person doesn't understand that it begins with the choice, but that doesn't instantly change the situation. And that's why they have the problem.
Oh, I agree with you. It doesn't change the situation. I think the better phrase, if I could just add here, and then I'd love to hear the other part of it too, I choose to tell my new story. I choose to tell my new story that I acknowledge that I acknowledge where I am. I choose to tell my new story that somehow, right now, from this moment, I don't know where it's going to start. I'm going to find a book. I'm going to find a person. I'm going to talk to somebody today that's going to help me to smile, to start to move in the other direction. I choose to tell that, and I think the key part there is to say I choose to tell the new story, because that's the part that really makes
and
you aware.
And also to understand that I made the choice, and it may take a little while, but I'm in a better direction, because your images show that, the arrows, that if I make that choice, I'm going in that direction. If I make the other choice, you know, that, oh, I can't do it and I'm stuck, I'll keep going in the other direction.
Correct. And thank you. And thank you for mentioning that, because I think that's a great phrase that you use there. You're right. I'm in a better direction. And notice, Dr. Goodstone, inside your, when you say, you can feel it in your heart. Okay, let's just take that relationship. Just what we described, you know, I choose to tell my new story of how, just acknowledging and saying, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I choose to tell my new story. I'm going to find a book. I'm going to find a CD. I'm going to find something that's going to help me to make that first, you know, even another choice is going to eventually help me move from this very difficult situation that I'm moving into the new situation. Now, notice when we say, I choose to tell my new story, notice how you can feel it in your heart. You can feel a little bit of a relief.
I'm also realizing that if you don't make that choice, you have to make the choice first, and then the opportunities that you need to go in that direction will appear. But if you don't make the choice, people.
You shouldn't be surprised.
People want to have. They want all the answers before they make the choice. They want all the opportunities to show up, and then they'll make the choice.
But you see, what's funny about that is, I mean, it's kind of funny because, I mean, and I this insight just came to me now by what you're saying is, every moment is a choice, and so you know you're choosing to wait. But you're choosing to wait for an opportunity to come into the moment. You see what I mean? And so that means that whatever's going to come into the moment is outside of you right now. And the only place to make a choice is right here, right now. So I'm choosing to wait. Notice the word wait. I'm choosing for the best answer to come to me. And you can't avoid making choices, because not making a choice is still a choice. It's an infinite loop. We can't avoid choice at all. And so now it's interesting. We're waiting for something that's going to come outside ourselves, but we're using our choice to wait for something, as opposed to saying, I choose to tell my new story. And here's the other part of it. Notice, and you can feel that excitement. You can feel that just that little shift in vibration that kind of goes through your heart, kind of goes up and kind of tingles your ears a little bit. And I use the phrase, you can feel the choice flowing through you, not the force, but you can feel the choice flowing through you. So you make one of those choices, and you feel that flowing through you, and it moves up through your head. You can feel it kind of tingle the hair in your head, and then you make a second choice. You know, how do you build, how do you know if it one bite at a time? And you know, it's just the same thing that happens in terms of how humanity looks at things. It's like we, and myself included, boy, if I could choose and it just happened right now, it would just plop and rot right here in front of me and be done. Then, you know, but it doesn't work. You know, it's brick by brick. You know, the Empire built brick, or any of these buildings are all built brick by brick, piece by piece, and life is
and
built
choice
part, by choice. Yeah.
Right. Another part is that you've made a lot of choices, prior choices, that led you to where you are right now. So
it's going to
take a while for you to keep making the choices toward what you want in another direction.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to Rudy Rudiger, who wrote the movie Rudy, and, you know, for the Notre Dame movie, 20, 25 years ago. And Rudy was from the south side of Chicago. And I don't know if you're familiar with the movie or not. He wanted to play one play at Notre Dame. And he had dyslexia and all that stuff. He finally, you know, he just kept making positive choices to make that happen. So and he got to play one play at the end of the season, last game, you know, and he was a walk-on. And 5 foot nothing, 100 nothing. And Rudy, I said, what perception, because I take a survey when I talk to people sometimes, what percentage of life is choice and what percentage of life is circumstance? And Rudy, in his Southwest Chicago, Joliet kind of Chicago accent, says, well, Rico, he goes, considering that your circumstances are where you are, and you got into your circumstances by the choices that you made, then life has to be 100% choice. Because where you are, choice has got you to where you are, and where you're going to be in your next place, you're going to get there by choice, so life is 100% choice. So I thought that was a really interesting way to describe being aware of how much choice is a part of your life from that point of view that your circumstances are where you are. Consciously or unconsciously, you made choices that got you to where you are, and that's how you're going to get into your new space. You're going to make choices because life is powered by choice, at the speed of choice.
I just have to add that there are circumstances where someone else affected your choices. They prevented you from doing something. They abused you, or something.
True. And once we are all aware of that, I grew up in an alcoholic family, and once we are all aware of that, there are some members of my family who are still using their just two choices to talk about what happened, and their life hasn't progressed. And they ask me, some of them don't like just two choices. I'll be candid. They said to me, don't talk to me about just two choices. I said, okay, I won't.
And as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for I don't remember how many years in Africa. And he made choices while in prison and started to picture changing the world. And I think he was sending letters out to people. And we know that he got out of jail and became a leader for years. So that's an example.
So you see, and that's the reason why these phrases start with I choose to. Like, the first technique I use for myself is so sometimes, you know, you wake up in the morning and, you know, one eye opens a little bit slower than the other, and you go, oh, yeah, that's right, I still got to do all this, this, and this. And, you know, it's easy to go into the overwhelm mode. So I use a technique that I use the phrase I choose to. Okay, I choose to. And this is going to sound Pollyanna and BS, but as you raise your awareness about how much choice it is, eventually what happens is you find out that we are all letting hundreds of choices every day that are powerful choices slip through our fingers that we could have activated in a very powerful way. And so I'll say, all right, I choose to put my feet in the floor. All right, I choose to stand up. Choose to scratch my head. All right, I choose to go ahead and take a shower. And as I start to say I choose to, I'm waking, you know, I'm warming myself up to life is choice. And so it raises my awareness of that. And notice it's the phrase I choose to. Start a sentence with I choose to. I choose to pick up my coffee cup. I choose to put some sugar in there. I choose to take the spoon out of my coffee cup. So you build this awareness.
Or I choose to not put the sugar in.
Yeah. Exactly. Well said. And then the second technique is, once you become more and more aware of choice, whenever I get into challenging situations, my challenges are technology. I'm getting better at it, you know, and stepping in. I choose to tell my new story about I'm finding the right people that are helping me to move into this whole new space of technology with, you know, with all the things that are happening on phones and computers and stuff. And so everything that's a challenge to me is I choose to tell my new story. And the last one is, throughout the day, I'll say, I choose to appreciate. I choose to appreciate all the people who are supporting me, you know, in terms of helping me out and family who are supportive of what I'm doing. I choose to appreciate, you know, this person who just had a great interaction. I choose to appreciate, you know, at a stop sign and somebody waves and you're at a four-way and somebody says, yeah, go ahead, go first, you know. I choose to appreciate that someone was kind to me like that or those kind of things. And so those three things, the key thing is to say I choose to for all those sentences before you start them, because that raises your awareness to how much to help own your choices. I don't say take responsibility. I feel owning the choice, and that way you're owning the feeling, you're owning the vibration with every choice that goes through your heart, you know, as you feel it go through your heart and through your life. And so those three things I use on a regular basis.
It sounds so much better than making an affirmation. I am appreciating these people. Maybe I am, maybe
right.
I'm not. But if I choose to do it, then I'm making a choice to do it. And that, you said the choice activates or deactivates people. Just explain that.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, from the diagram and for the people, if you were to make a peace sign for anybody, for the people that are listening, and say, hold, you know, your index and your middle finger up in a peace sign, but turn it so that your index finger is parallel to the ground. Okay, the one that's your index finger would be the positive choice, and the one that's heading downhill would be the less than positive choice. And so notice that where your two fingers join there in your hand, that's what I call the choice point. Okay, so which choice are you going to make? Whichever choice you make, that energy will, say, flow in the direction of that finger, okay? And so notice that when you say, I choose to tell my new story, that the energy flows through your index finger, and that the energy, when it flows through your index finger by saying, I choose to, it doesn't activate the other direction. Because activating, it's like a light switch. You know, the light isn't both on and off at the same time. You know, that's either going to be on or off.
Hmm.
You know, your credit card's either going to be approved or not, right? It's just two choices, your credit card is. You know, coins are just two choices. Look at all the places in sports that are just two choices. You're either inbounds or out of bounds. The point is the score either counted or it didn't. It's either a penalty or it's not. The game's either over or it's being played. Just two choices is everywhere. And so the energy flows in the direction that it's chosen. Oh, clock's done. Game over. Energy activated the game over. It didn't activate for the game to go on for another 15 minutes. Just, you know what I mean? Guy stepped out of bounds. Just two choices. The energy is, okay, out of bounds. Stop it right here. It doesn't activate the energy that says, oh, yeah, continue to run. Go ahead. Keep going for the goal, you know? So that's what I mean by that.
It's amazing to look at life that way because we don't usually think of it that way. It feels like it's going on and on, but it's these momentary choices. So I have one more question before we end because time is running out. You said that you are choice mapping your survey. So please explain what you mean by that, what you're doing.
Well, that goes back to what I – oh, thank you. That's what I – that goes back to a survey I'm taking. Like I take it when I talk to Rudy Rudiger. He's part of the – you know, I asked him to be part of the survey. What percentage of life is choice and what percentage of life is circumstance? I'm just choice mapping consciousness and how people perceive it, you know. And, you know, you get 80-20 as an answer. You get 50-50. I had 20-80. Life is 20% chance or 20% choice and 80% circumstance. I've had all kinds of answers. They're very rare that direction. But most of them in the 80-20, 90-10, 95-5. I'd say 80-20, 90-10 when you ask that question. Yeah, life is 80% choice and 20% circumstance. So I'm mapping that to try to bring out the data that shows where consciousness, you know, from the people I've surveyed, obviously, you know, what our perceptions are about how much we are really in charge of our life by choice.
Wow. And I just realized along with that question, you say something about epigenetics. We're all learning about epigenetics at the moment. And you said that just two choices enhances our epigenetics. So just explain that concept a little bit.
Well, epigenetics, you know, is the science of it, that our choices impact the tags on our DNA that's going to impact, that's going to be passed on to the next generation. How long it's going to last, they're still doing the research on it. It might only last one generation as its impact in terms of a tag that goes on your DNA. The point of epigenetics is, I mean, as I understand it, is that it's not Darwinian. Darwinian would say, oh, it's going to take thousands of years for something to change. No, your choices are impacting your DNA today. You know, every choice you make has an impact on your DNA. And so notice, it's exactly that. They talk about it whenever you read about about epigenetics. They're going to talk about it, saying it's the choices you make. Well, there are just two choices. So when you are conscious now of your choices, think about how you're actually consciously, epigenetically impacting your DNA in a healthy way. You know, I'm choosing to be smoke free.
You're affecting your DNA for your current life. Because certain genes can be turned on or turned off by the food you eat and your emotional state. But you're also adding the piece that you're affecting possibly the next generation. Sperm or your egg is having that DNA and how you dealt with your DNA. So it's pretty powerful.
Right. Yeah, it is. I mean, if we could imagine people understanding that in the future, you know, going like, ooh, I'm about to pass that on. I should make it maybe better for me to make a new and better choice instead of passing that on as a possibility to the next generation.
Well, what I think of is someone taking drugs that's affecting their brain and obviously their DNA, and then having children and affecting the children and having it go. But it's much more than that.
Yeah.
It's all of the foods we eat and everything. So how people can hear about your book, where they can get it, and how they can get in touch with you, and anything else you want to offer?
Oh, you're very kind. You know, I'm just excited about people changing their lives by choice as soon as possible. So they could go to the website and download the Welcome and Chapter 1. And if you just download the Welcome and Chapter 1, which is, I don't know, maybe 12 pages, and you know how the artwork is in the book, you'll be able to see how Just Two Choices is used to land Apollo 11 on the moon, and how choice was used. You can use choice to have an extraordinary business, how extraordinary customer service, extraordinary life, just by downloading the Welcome and for free and Chapter 1. I mean, and so I just would like people to just make that choice, and it's www.justtwochoices.com. And just, you know, make the choice or not. I mean, it's a Just Two Choices moment for you. Download it and just read those two pieces, and you'll be able to look all around you every day. It talks about how, you know, you go to Vegas, you're going to win or you're going to lose. You know, you're either going to, your credit card is either going to be approved or not. Just talks about how all this choice is all around you every day, plus the visual diagrams that, you know, you were kind enough to mention early on there, you know, Dr. Goodstone, about how that will enhance your ability to make new and better choices and get started creating your extraordinary life as quickly as as you download it. Yeah, please.
Well, Rico Rakowski, it's been wonderful speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Wow, it's been an honor and privilege. Thank you for the great things that you're doing as well for you know, creating and sustaining and reaching people's lives. Blessings to you, and blessings for a great holiday coming up.
And the same to you.
And okay, thank you.
I'm your host. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond, and Be Happy and Healthy. And if you're ready to create lasting love, my 30-day love challenge will be starting again soon. You can find out information at my other website, drericagoodstone.com. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.